Welcome to this week's episode of the His Hill Podcast. My name is Kelly Daugherty, and I'm your host. Well, this is the first episode being recorded in our new studio. And that's a big deal because absolutely every other episode up to this point has been recorded in different rooms. And never knowing what room I'm going to be in, I'd always have to set up and break down. So this is a big deal for me. And again, I'm really excited about it. I'm thankful that the Lord has given us this room. It's a brand new room. It's been designated specifically for the podcast. And I look forward to being in here and for for all of the episodes that will be recorded in this room. Now, you probably will hear a little bit of echo because we're still in the process of getting it set up for the podcast. So there's still some sound barriers that need to be installed, and I hope you don't mind having to put up with that for a little while. So today I'd like for us to take a look at Proverbs chapter 16. And in doing so, it's with preparation of just to explain to you, to share with you things that the Lord has worked in my heart throughout my life. And so specifically, I want to start with Proverbs 16, verse 9, which reads like this. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You know, we're all on a journey, whether we realize it or not, that will at times take us places that we've never anticipated, and in some cases, never wanted. And how you respond to these unexpected events of life will greatly impact what kind of person you become. And as I look over my 58 years of life, I've recently come to realize, and I mean just recently, I was sitting down last week just thinking about this, and I came to realize that very little has gone the way I have anticipated it to. You know, the Lord at times has taken me places that I just didn't see coming. Now, sometimes they were exciting events, exciting seasons, and others were hard and they were trying. But having been brought there by the Lord, I can say that I wouldn't want it any other way. You know, I said something about this last week in the interview with Joseph, but it really fits in with what I'm talking about here. You know, just not knowing what the Lord's bringing. I was in Bible college just weeks away from graduation. I can tell you what room I was in, what wall I was staring at, when I came to the realization that I had taken the wrong major. You know, I was a music major. When I was 12 years old, I just believed the Lord would have me go into some kind of vocational ministry. And from that age on, I started to look at, you know, being a music pastor or a worship pastor. And I worked toward that. I geared my thoughts and my interests and even my actions toward that, to the point that I went to Bible college as a music major. Now, let me explain what happened. I attended this school, and it was in my wife's hometown, Arlene's hometown, but it was just an institute. It wasn't a college, and so it wasn't accredited. So my plan was to just go a year there and then transfer the credit to a Bible college. Well, during registration, the registrar told me, well, Kelly, we've just become an accredited Bible college. Why don't you just stay here and get your degree here? And I thought, well, yeah, that would be great. So I went ahead and I registered as a music major. And then just weeks away, I was talking with the, this was just a week after I came to realize that I had taken the wrong major. And I was talking with the academic dean, and in the course of our conversation, I said something to the effect of, you know, when I get my music degree. And he stopped me. He said, Kelly, you're not getting a music degree. Do you think you're getting a music degree? And, you know, of course, my face turns red. I'm embarrassed. Well, of course I thought I was getting a music degree. I've been a music major. And he said, no, Kelly, we don't give a music degree. We give a degree in religious education with an emphasis in music. And all of a sudden, it just occurred to me, that's why I had to take all of these education courses and all these other courses. You know, I just thought I was just jumping through the hoops you have to jump through and take the courses that they require you to take. But see, what happened was that the man who was in charge, who was the head of the music department, was on sabbatical the year that the school had started to work toward accreditation, and nobody thought to tell him about it. He didn't realize this until he came back from his year-long sabbatical, and the school season was about to begin, and everybody was set up with a degree program. So the school had to just go ahead and give a religious education degree, and anybody that wanted to take a music major could. Well, because of that, and nobody ever explained that to me, because of that, I had to take all of these education courses and these teaching courses. And you know, it was in all of that, I was being taught how to teach. And I just look back on it now and think how funny this is. You know, I had my plan, but the Lord was directing my steps. It wasn't until I was just a few weeks away from graduation that I realized, really, I believe the Lord would have me concentrate more on preaching and teaching, and without knowing it, all along He was training me for preaching and teaching. But He used the music to open doors for me to come into the positions that I would take. But it was the preaching and teaching that would end up being the emphasis in what was being developed. And I just, you know, I am so thankful that the Lord's not putting it on me to know the beginning from the end and to make the plans and to not make the mistakes and to make all the right decisions, but simply this: He is the one that's directing my steps. You know, what a good God. So in this journey, there are some things that the Lord has taught me that I want to share with you. And, you know, they won't be, you know, earth-shattering or, you know, big aha moments, I don't think. But they have, as I look back, they have been things of necessity. And it's not that I feel like I've arrived at any of these things and there's nothing more to learn, there's nothing more for the Lord to work in my heart with Him. No, I know that there is. And there'll be other things that the Lord teaches me. But these are four things that have been a big deal for me and my walk with the Lord. And the first is this, is that I've come to realize that I must abide. I must abide. In John 15, the word means remain, stay put, stay there. A quote that Major Thomas once made went like this: "What is it about me people like that they hate about Christ?" What is it about me people like that they hate about Christ? In John chapter 15, verses 19 and 20, after Jesus tells His disciples, "Now you abide in me as I abide in you. You stay in me." He goes on and He explains what the abiding life will look like. And it's not exactly what I think we would anticipate. In John 15, verses 19 and 20, He says this: "If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." And so what is it about me that people like, that they hate about Christ? What is it that I need to be trusting the Lord for in living different from the world? So I need to abide. And then the next thing is, there's nothing good in me. You know, like I said, this is not going to be big revelations, but important things for us to come to terms with. So again, The second thought is this: there's nothing good in me, so stop depending on me. You know, guys, my confidence to do anything is in God's ability to achieve everything. My confidence to do anything is in God's ability to achieve everything. In Genesis chapter 22, we find that God is testing Abraham. We read this. Abraham said, before I read that, it's in this chapter that God comes to Abraham and he says, now take your son, your only son, Isaac, and go and sacrifice him. And we find as we read through chapter 22 that there is no hesitation from Abraham. He gets up early in the morning and he right away gets the fire, he gets the knife, he grabs the wood, he takes his son and a few servants, they pack everything up and they take off. And on the way, his son makes the observation, Dad, we have the fire, we have the knife, we have everything we need for the sacrifice, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And then in verse 8 of chapter 22 in Genesis, Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. And then a little later it says, then Abraham raised his eyes. He's about to sacrifice his son. And he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and he took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. You know, what was he thinking? Well, in Hebrews 11:19, it says this, he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which also he received him back as a type. You know, Abraham, we know, lived by faith, according to chapter 11 in Hebrews. And with this faith, he displayed an incredible confidence to do anything because of God's ability to achieve everything. And so I want to live the same way. By faith, I want to live in the confidence that I can do anything, in the reality of God's ability to achieve everything, because there's nothing good in me, so I need to stop depending on me. So far we've seen that we need to abide. There's nothing good in me, so I need to stop depending on me. And then the Lord has been working in my heart over these years that I belong to him. Doug Lanier, a former teacher and principal at His Hill, once said this, we cannot possess joy until we allow joy to possess us. We cannot possess joy until we allow joy to possess us. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, the verse ends with this statement, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord, the Lord's joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not saying that I need to be strong so I know joy, but my strength is the reality of the Lord's joy. In James chapter 1 in verses 2 to 4, we read this, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You see, it doesn't say be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, so that you have joy. But what does it say? It says that perfect and completeness are the result of joy. And when you look at this in the light of Scripture, you find that this perfection, this completeness, is the life of Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 tells us that we have been made complete in Christ. He is our joy. And it's not until we go into life, we go into the situations of life, considering it all joy, counting it all joy, being with the one who is joy, that it's not until then that we come to realize this maturity, this completeness that is Christ, that we have been made for. So I belong to the Lord, and there's nothing good in me, so I need to stop depending on me. Therefore, I need to abide in him. And the last thing that I want to share with you is that the Lord has worked in my heart that there is great freedom in obedience to him. There is great freedom in obedience to God. Again, Major Thomas once said this, "If it pleases you always and only to do what pleases God, you can do as you please." If it pleases you always and only to do what pleases God, you can do as you please. You see, we can only do as we please with freedom if what we're doing pleases God, because it's his way. In John chapter 8 and verse 29, we read this, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." You see, this is how Christ lived on this earth. He only did what pleased his Father. And if that's true of him, and you've put your faith in him, so he lives in you, then doesn't it only stand to reason that the one who lives in you will live the way he lived before? Always doing what pleases the Father. So if we're abiding in him, realizing that there's nothing good in me and that I belong to him, we find that there's great freedom in obeying him. James chapter 4, verse 13 reads like this, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." Believers, listen. Christians are the only people on the earth who can live unparalyzed and free as we abide, knowing that there's nothing good in me, that we belong to the Lord. Here there's great obedience. I'm sorry, there's great freedom as we obey. These are just some things that the Lord has worked in my heart over the years, and he continues to develop, and I believe he will continue to develop. But I want to share them with you with the purpose of encouraging you that if you've placed your faith in Christ, then you belong to him. There's great freedom for you. So stop depending on you, because there's nothing good in you. And abide. Stay with Jesus. Only as you abide will you know, will you truly understand that there's no need to depend on yourself. Only as you abide will you wake up to the incredible reality of belonging to him and the confidence that is yours in Christ. And only as you abide will you find this incredible freedom that allows you and empowers you to obey him. And Christians, we've been given such an incredible life. What are you going through? Is it an exciting time? Is it a trying time? Be encouraged. It is the Lord who directs your steps. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to the His Hill Podcast. You've been listening to our host, Kelly Doherty. We hope you enjoyed hearing from Kelly this week and that the life lessons he shared were an encouragement to you. If you would like to get in touch with Kelly, you can contact him via email at kelly@hishill.org. Our ladies' retreat is this weekend, and we have 76 women signed up to come. Please be praying for this time that those attending would be open to absorb what God has for them to hear, and that our speaker would share God's word with love and assurance. We are excited for this time and praise the Lord for a chance to serve and encourage the women who are coming to the Hilltop this weekend. Once again, you've been listening to the His Hill Podcast featuring our host, Kelly Doherty. Thanks so much for tuning in with us today. Remember to keep your eyes fixed on Christ. I'm Lizzie, and we'll see you next week.